to walk with you more intimately. Lord, as you revealed yourself to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Lord, reveal yourself through your word here today. Father, we pray for our pastor. Let your anointing, let the Spirit of God move through him in a powerful and profound way here today. And Father, touch our hearts and our minds and our wills. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Last Sunday evening, I was privileged to be part of the Going Home celebration of a man by the name of Bill Heavener. And it was Kim Mott's dad. And as I was preparing for that service, I began to imagine the reception that Bill, her dad, would get as he entered into heaven and got to meet God face to face for the first time. How can we imagine? How can we even comprehend what is going to go on? It's got to be far and away, I know it will be for any of us, all of us, far, far and away the greatest experience of our life. This is what all of us as Christians should be looking forward to. This is our reward. This is where we have an inheritance stored up for us. But most of all, this is where we finally get to meet God and where we really begin to know Him without this flesh getting in the way. We get to know Him spirit to spirit without all the garbage, just one-on-one. The time that we spend here on earth will never compare to the experience that we're going to have in heaven. But God has made it possible for us to get to know Him while we live in this body during our earthly existence. We get to know God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the All-Powerful, One True God. And that's a privilege that unfortunately, some people do take for granted. But we shouldn't. As Christians, we should never take that for granted. You know, there was a time when it would have been impossible. It was impossible for people to get to really know God. In Ephesians 2:11, it says, "Remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth, and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise." And here's the line that really stands out in this scripture: "Without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the divide, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him we have access, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." That's telling us that once it was impossible. We had no relation, but Jesus did something when He sacrificed himself. When the veil in the temple was torn to two, when Jesus died on the cross, that was symbolic of this barrier being destroyed between us and God. We were, it says in the Bible, at enmity or at war with God, in a sense. And there was no way we were ever going to get to know him personally or be able to spend time with him either in this life or in the next, in eternity. But because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross, he made peace between us and the Father. He opened up a pathway for us to go into see the Father, to go be able to go into the Holy of Holies, to be able to get into his presence. And through him, we now have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. So because of this tremendous sacrifice that Jesus made for us, now we, little old you and me, we get to know God. We get to actually know God. Getting to know God is an amazing journey that we begin to experience as we know of him, as we begin to learn of him, as we begin to go run after him, and in so many different ways throughout our life, we begin to find him, recognize him, and see him, if that's what we choose. Over the next few months, we're going to be exploring some of the many different attributes of God so we can hopefully begin to understand who he is, to know him better. We'll be looking at God's character, his power, his majesty, his love, his word, his law, his truth. There are so many different ways that God has given us to be able to discover him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to get to know him the best that we possibly can. Once again, returning to funerals, we all know, or at least I hope we all know, that we're only able to get to heaven because of what Jesus did through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. No one gets to the Father except through him. There's a scripture that I like to read at funerals for those that I know were saved, to comfort those who were left behind, and also then to give insight to those who might be wondering, you know, where did they go? Where did their loved one go? They want to be sure what's going on. It's in John chapter 14, starting at verse 1, and it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Now Thomas, doubting Thomas, the unbelieving Thomas, he's of course always the one that has to immediately say something. He goes, "But Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now here's one of the lines I really want us to catch in here. "If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Show us the Father." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, don't you know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show me the Father'? I just got done telling you, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." These guys just, they weren't quite getting it. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe it on the evidence of the miracles themselves. So Jesus is telling them that he's going to lead them to heaven. And he's also telling them that along the way, he has been revealing the Father to them. All this time they spent with him, he's telling them, all these things you saw me do, all these miracles you saw me do, that wasn't really me doing that. That was the Father doing that through me. You have been seeing the Father at work. You've been seeing him at work through me. And as they know Jesus, his actions, his words, his life, God the Father was there all the time, revealing himself. He was revealing himself to them and to us through his word, through all that Jesus did when he walked on this earth. The scripture that we read at funerals, like this one in John that I just read, are not just words. See, a lot of people don't understand. I'm not saying so much here, but the people in the world, people as they go to funeral, they just think we're reading words. Well, those are some nice words. Can you speak a few words over the grave? Can you speak a few words at the funeral? Yeah, to them, they're just words. But the scriptures that we read are not just words. They are God speaking through us. Through his Son, once again, through us. To us believers, they are comforting. A reminder of who God is, what God has done, and God's plans for us. To an unbeliever, they can be eye-opening, or hopefully the start of a desire to get to know God. That's what we always pray, that God will use this time, this time of death, this funerals, to stir somebody enough where they begin to think about where they might be going. But those same words can also be condemning to someone who rejects God's truth and refuses to let Jesus speak to them. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, starting in 18, it says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." God has left his imprint on everything in this world. It's his signature on his creation. It's like he signed it. But many people refuse to believe that he's the creator. In particular, they refuse to believe that he's their creator. They think that if they refuse to acknowledge him as their creator, then they won't have to answer to him as their judge. But that's one of the ways that we need to know God as the lawgiver and as the judge, because he is. God gave the law, and he will stand in judgment upon everyone at one time. And it's better to know sooner than later who he is. That's why we want to get to know him. To not know or not believe could lead us to eternal damnation. to eternal condemnation. It's right in God's word. These are not my words. Jesus said it over and over. People that rejected him, whole cities that rejected him, he said it would be worse for them, worse than Sodom and Gomorrah for them, because they didn't believe the Son of Man when he was right in their midst. Kim's dad and all the others that have gone on before us, that great cloud of witnesses that are up there cheering us on, they're getting to know God right now. That's pretty cool when you just stop and think about it, that, you know, being able to, I mean, we would have an eternity to get close to God. And you know what? We're never going to know everything about God. His ways are beyond our comprehension. They're unfathomable. How deep are his ways? How mysterious are his ways? I mean, we're going to know a lot more than we know now. But we're going to have an eternity to get to know him, to understand him. And there's a reason that they're cheering us on, that cloud of witnesses out there cheering us on. It's because they know how great it is. They're in heaven. They know what's ahead. They know the reality of what happens after this life, after this time. And so they're up there cheering us on. Many of them are our friends, our family, our relatives, our, you know, our ancestors who are hoping and praying and or what, however that works up there, whatever, however they can do whatever they can do, but they're up there, this cloud of witnesses, hoping that we'll be up there in heaven too. They want the best for us, just like we want the best for our kids, our friends, our parents, our family. We all want the best for those that we care about, those we love. And they want the best for us. So they're cheering us on to run our race, so that we can run our race and we can win. We can finish the race. So we can go enter into the greatest adventure that we could ever have, an eternity in heaven with God. Being united with Him, knowing Him, truly knowing Him for who He is. There's a truth here that we need to get hold of. If we think about it, there's a reason that they really get to know God now, and it's because they've died. They've died. They've left this body behind, and they've died. They have left the flesh behind, and now they know Him by the Spirit. Well, it's the same for us. The way we get to know God more is to die more to ourselves. To put to death this flesh. And that's what, you know, Jesus was talking about all the time when he was here. Take up your cross and follow me. Put to death the flesh. And be led by the Spirit. That's how we get to know God. We can't really know God in the flesh. In the flesh, we can only know about God. Our flesh here, this body that we, you know, inhabit temporarily, this flesh really doesn't want God. This flesh might be interested in knowing about God, but this flesh doesn't want to give up its realm. It doesn't want to give up its little kingdom. This flesh doesn't want to give up its authority over itself. That's why we talk about dying to self. The Spirit within us does. As you've heard me say many times, we are not a body of flesh that just happens to have a spirit inside. The true me, the true you, is that we are spirit with a temporary covering of flesh. And this flesh wants its way. This flesh is how we get around. I mean, this is the vessel that God has given us to deal with life. to deal with this world, to walk in this world, to share Christ in this world, to love in this world, to live in this world. But this flesh, no matter how good it is, this flesh is still not sold out for Jesus. It's our spirit within us that is sold out for Jesus. The flesh is always trying to take back, push us back the other way. There's a constant struggle that will never stop between the spirit and the flesh in every single one of us. There's nobody in here who has totally put the flesh to death. The only time that's going to happen is when the flesh has been put to death and literally buried in the ground or burned up or however we deal with it. It's always going to keep coming back. Sin will always be crouching at our door. It's going to be eating this flesh. We may as well get used to it. So what we have to do is strengthen the spirit within us. We need to feed the spirit within us. We need to feed the eternal. We need to meet up with God. We need to get to know God. Get the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Says God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. Our flesh will not worship Jesus. When we are in here on Sunday morning and we are worshiping, we're up here singing. If we come here and we sing in the flesh, we don't get into this. That's why I always try to, in the morning, I try to really encourage you and, you know, and exhort you and try to get you beyond. Get outside the world and just let that go and get into the Spirit. Because this flesh, I mean, we might enjoy the songs all right. You know, maybe if we all play good and if we all do our part nice and it's a good song that you happen to like, yeah, maybe you'll enjoy that and actually enjoy singing it. But it still doesn't do us any good when it's just that. We want to get to a place where we go beyond the songs, where it doesn't matter who's up here, where it doesn't matter what song we play. We just want to get to a place of worship. These songs, us musicians, are nothing more than vessels or vehicles to try to bring this body, to try to bring us as individuals to that place where we can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's all I am. I'm just nothing more than a tool to be used by God. And I'm happy to be that tool. I don't care that I'm being used. Use me, you know? That's what we want. We want to be used. It sounds terrible that he just used me. Yeah, well, I don't want some guy to use me. I want God to use me. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. That's the only kind of true worship there will be. As we are led by the Spirit, we become his children. Those who are led by the Spirit get to know him then as Father. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons or the daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Abba. Abba is a Hebrew word and it means father. In the closest, most intimate sense. Sort of like Papa or Daddy. Somebody who is very, very close. God's desire is that we would get to know Him in that way and have a close, intimate relationship with Him where we truly know Him like a family member, like a little child, that we would trust in Him and just give ourselves over to Him and not worry about this flesh, not worry about who's around us, who's looking at us, who's listening to us. Just get in His presence. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Wow, we don't know the Father unless Jesus has chosen to reveal him to us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He wants us to learn from him. He's calling us to him. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What we learn in this life is what Jesus reveals to us. What he decides that he wants to reveal to us. He wants us to learn about his Father. And it's as we are led by his Spirit and we become like children that the door is opened and where we can be welcomed then in into the Father's presence so we can get to know him better. Knowing God, according to this scripture right here, knowing God is how we're going to find rest for the weary soul. You know, I know we just got done with Christmas and the holidays and all the shopping and dinners and family and friends. I know there's a lot of people who have been getting sick, had flus and colds and all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of us that have gotten weary. Our bodies have gotten weary and worn out. Sometimes, you know, you work a lot. You know, you've been stuck having to do extra work and you get weary and worn out. All the traveling. Maybe you had to go to two or three places on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve and you get worn out. And you just, oh man, I just want to relax. I wish I could just, you know, kick back. I just would like to, you know, not be so, you know, consumed with everything and having to do this and having to do that. And Jesus, he comes to us and he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is where we find rest from the anxiety of searching and doing things that have really no bearing on getting us closer to God, helping us to know him better. You see, God wants us to know him better. This should be one of the chief aims of our life. Jesus is calling us to do this, to learn of our Father, to get to know him better, to take on this yoke. This doesn't mean that, you know, all the different things that we do, it doesn't mean they're sin or wrong. It doesn't mean that we can't do anything else. Certainly, we have our responsibilities and our things to do. But sometimes, a lot of the stuff we do, we find that it's sort of like pointless spinning of wheels. Because we think that those are the things, all that stuff that we do, we think that that is what is going to satisfy us. Doing that, getting this, fixing that, redoing that, making this, going after that. Oh, that's going to make me happy. That's going to finally fulfill me. And we find out that none of it does. It's not things. It's not getting. It's not consuming. It's not going after all those things, any things in this world that is going to fulfill us and make us happy. You remember what Jesus said? He said, take my yoke. Take my yoke. What was his yoke? What did he mean by that? What was his yoke? He actually told us right in there. The burden of the work of Jesus this burden, take my burden upon you, take my yoke upon you. That yoke, that burden, the work of Jesus, it was always to do the will of the Father. Everything he did, everything he said, was what the Father told him to do. He tells us this over and over. The words you hear me speak are the words that came from my Father. I said nothing unless the Father told me to do it. I did nothing unless the Father told me to do it. In other words, everything he did was what the Father had already designed for him to do. That was his work. That was his job. When he was on the cross, he said, "It's finished." What was finished? Was the world saved? No. What was finished was his work, his job, what he was supposed to do. He did everything the Father told him to do. His work was complete. And so he says, now learn from me. He tells us, learn from me. If you want to have rest for your weary soul, if you want to get rid of all that anxiety, he says, quit running after things. Things that don't satisfy. Quit trying to fill up your pocket that's just going to have holes in it. All that money's just going to disappear. Quit running after power and wealth and pleasure and success and all those things. Doing the Father's will is what will fulfill us. It takes away the anxiety of trying to gather all these things and hold on to all these things that we can't hold on to. They keep disappearing no matter what we work for, no matter how much we gather. Somehow, it just we can't ever feel like that's it, that's enough, that'll always, that's all I'm ever going to need. It's never enough. It's never enough. What was that thing? I think it was John Paul Getty, billionaire. They asked him, you know, you got so much money. How much more do you need? And his answer was, just a little. And you know what? He'll say that, or he would have said that, till the day he died. And that's sort of how we, you know, we get this flesh. This flesh always wants more. The flesh always wants more. Always. The flesh will never be satisfied. It's like a bottomless pit. It always wants more. So when we learn from Jesus and we begin to do what the Father wants us to do and say what the Father wants us to say, when we take His yoke and His burden and we put that on, all of a sudden we have rest. Because what happens then is we know that when we do that, there'll be a time when we have completed the job, like Jesus said, it's finished. I've done now what God's wanted me to do. At the end of the day, we can be done now. We've done what God wanted us to do for that day. We know that we have God's approval. We have rest for our weary souls. In the book of Ephesians 1:17, Paul tells us his prayer for us. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. That's His prayer for us. All the greatest evangelist, great teacher, the one who wrote a huge part of the New Testament that we read today, His prayer for us that we may have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So we can make a lot of money? So we can get promoted in our job? No. So we can know God better. It's the wisdom from heaven. The wisdom that is pure and holy. Wisdom from heaven. And it's the revelation that comes from God. All designed to help us to get to know Him better. Once again, we see that we'll never get to know God in the flesh. Heavenly wisdom is not from the flesh. Spiritual revelation is not from the flesh. God's telling us the way to get to know Him is through the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is always at work. always at work trying to help us to get to know God better. It's up to us to push aside the flesh so the Holy Spirit will have the access to our heart that He needs, to our spirit, to reveal more of God to us. In Isaiah 55, 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He's near." You know, God makes His presence known. He's around. He's here. And while we're alive, we still have the ability to reach out to Him, to get close to Him. And this is part of the final prayer that Jesus prays before He goes to the cross. Now, no words of Jesus are insignificant. Everything He ever said is real, it's true, it's powerful. But I gotta believe that someone's final words before they're about to die have to have some special significance, some special meaning to us. And so before He's ready to die, He knows His time has come. He's getting ready to go to the cross, and He prays. There's a lot of things in that prayer, but I'm going to look at just the first part of the prayer, and this is what it says. After Jesus said this, He looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come, the time to die. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those that You have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God." That's it. "This is eternal life," He says, "that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have brought You glory on earth by completing," there it is again, "by completing the work You gave Me to do." So here He is, He's praying, and He's saying, "I'm praying for all these people, God, that they might know You. Because that's what life is all about. This is where it all comes to. This is the end. This is the end game. This is what we're going after. This is the final end, the final finish, to know God. And we can do it now. We can start now. We're not going to know Him completely, but we can begin to get to know Him." That was the heart cry of Jesus in His prayer, that we might know His Father, that we might know Him like He knew Him, that we would love Him so much that we would be willing to die to ourselves, just like Jesus loved Him so much that He was willing to die on the cross. Jesus wants us to love God so much that we would be willing to do whatever He tells us to do, just like He did. Remember when He said, "Nevertheless, not My will but Yours be done"? When He prayed, He asked God, "Is there any other way? Do I have to go to this cross? Do I have to die?" And the answer He got was yes. And you know what? We ask the same question. Do I have to die? Do I have to give up my flesh? Do I have to give up and press into the Spirit? Can we say, "Nevertheless, God, no matter what I feel like doing, nevertheless, not My will but Yours be done"? There's a word for that. It's called obedience. If you love Me, you will obey My word. It's that simple. If you love Me, you will obey My word. But first, we have to know Him to know His word. We have to know Him to understand what He wants of us. We have to start to get to know Him, to know His character, to know the principles that He wants to teach us so that we can learn how to become like Him, so that we can be obedient to Him, to His character, to His will, to His calling, to His purpose for our life, so we can be obedient to His Word, to the Spirit. Jesus is betting on the fact that if we know Him, we will love Him. He laid it all out. He did it all, believing that if He did that, if He went to the cross and He gave us the opportunity to know, then we will love Him, that we will then be obedient to Him, so that we ourselves can then enter into heaven too. He was certain that He was willing to die so we could do it. So I want to challenge you today to make a commitment to yourself that you're going to dig deeper, that you're going to push harder and get to know God better than you have before. Just a simple challenge. Take a step. Say, you know what? Wherever I am, wherever I've been, I'm going to go further. I'm going to get to know God better. I'm going to get to know Him better through His Word, through His Spirit, through all that I know about Him, through His character. We're going to be going through so many different aspects of God. And it tells us there then, in His Word, that we will be rewarded then for doing that. Not only with eternity and in heaven with God, but here on this earth, Jesus said that we will be rewarded with rest for our weary and our burdened souls. Doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't you like a little bit of rest from the stress of life, from your weary and burdened soul? That's what God wants to give us. And He wants us to have a closer... Well, the other benefit is not only that we have this rest, but then we also have this closer, intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe. So if I could have the prayer team come forward, we're going to close in prayer. Maybe you want to make a commitment this morning. Maybe you want to speak it out to somebody. Maybe you just want to repent of something that has stood in your way. Maybe you just want to pray for something else, totally different. We have the prayer team up here. You are welcome to come receive prayer. Let's go before the Lord. Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You that You have made a way for us to come to You, to get to know You. We thank You that Jesus has offered up Himself for us, that He has invited us to learn from Him, and that He's told us that He will take our burdens and our anxieties and our cares, and He will let us wear His yoke so that we can do Your will and get to know You better. God, help us. Help us to take the next step in our life. Help us to walk further than we've walked before. Help us to see You in ways we've not seen You before. Help us to understand You in ways we've not understood You before. Help us to reach out farther, to run farther. Help us to continue on, to press in, to go forward, to put our hand to the plow and not turn back. Lord, I ask for You to release Your power, Your anointing, the anointing of Your Holy Spirit upon all who would hear this message, that we would move in Your power. Lord, I know we can't do this on our own. We can't do this on our own, God. We need Your help. So fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Empower us so that we can take that next step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.